Hello, and best of the season to you from your board at the Phoenix Foundation. My name is Barry Davidson, Chair of the Board. We're excited about the holiday season and the reconnection with family and friends. While the hustle and bustle can be daunting, the rewards are incredible. Take the time to hug someone you've not seen for a long time. In fact, this is the perfect time to remind you about our new Phoenix coffee blends. Check with the desk to get yours, and make sure you have that special blend ready for the holiday visitors. My favorite is the bird turd blend, but I'll let you check that out. Now, I happily turn you over to the amazing and talented Jill Mann and Diana Stinn, Phoenix Foundation founders, drivers, and all-around inspirational people.
This is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
Welcome to our
Squadcast.
This is episode number 40, and we are recording live from a teacher's office.
That's right. It's the only empty office and quiet place in the building today.
That's so funny. So we would like to extend our thanks to Miss Jolene Avery and Karen Reinhardt, the two teachers that share this and happen to be away for lunch at the moment.
Ha ha, worked for all of us.
There you go. So today we are going to acknowledge some wing feathers, talk a little bit about nest news, what's going on with the building, what's hatching, so what's upcoming, a little glance back through our tail feathers.
Weagle, weagle, weagle.
We are then also going to beak off a tiny bit and give you a little bit of support underneath our wing.
How exciting.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. Are you ready to begin?
I am so ready to begin.
Okay, so hey, Jill, in our coffee cups today, we have one of our own special blends from Blends Coffee. And today we're drinking what?
We are drinking Bird Turd Organic.
Sounds
mouth-watering. But you can't help but smile when you know you have a refreshing cup of bird turd.
So, dear listeners, please refill your coffee cups and join us here for the next few minutes as we go through a whole bunch of things. If you would like to, and you're not drinking good coffee, you are most certainly welcome to order a pound of our Bird Turd Organic by calling the organization here at Phoenix, 403-265-7701. And we'll take your order.
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so, hey, Jill, we did something very interesting today.
We did do something interesting. We had a field trip.
We did. Yeah. So we would like to extend a wing feather to Akiva Academy.
That was so lovely. What a nice facility. What is their specialty?
They are a Jewish community day school, and they have preschool to grade 9, and we got to go see their facility. Very bright, very cheery, lots of happy, smiling faces.
Yeah, they do some interesting work over there, and I really liked their doors.
Me too. Can we paint our doors, Mommy?
I think we can. I think we have to.
Okay. Sounds like fun. Hey, listen, we've had a little bit of nest news as well. So speaking of stuff, we have new carpet in the front foyer.
Yes. I specially chose the color.
Yeah. Wait, it's salt gray?
Winter salt drip gray.
Ooh.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it.
Yeah.
So our poor old carpet that we'd had at the front door, very lovely, warm, sort of, would you say sort of Navajo-y type pattern?
Yeah. Showed every grain of salt. We vacuumed like 5 times a day, and it lasted 2 minutes and looked like it hadn't been cleaned in a month.
Yeah, so just a reminder, people, please make sure you take your boots off at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you bring your day shoes, and you're welcome to leave those here.
Mm-hmm.
But please take your boots off and try to keep the muck down to a minimum.
And remember, the boot rack and shoe rack is there for your shoes, because when everybody puts their shoes on that tiny little piece of carpet in front of the door, no one can get in or out of anywhere. So use the rack. That's what it's for.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so what's hatching? What's up and coming? I feel tacos are in the air.
The garage. Oh, no, we don't want those invited.
No, on December the 12th at noon, we will be hosting our Mexican feast. We have a bunch of people invited. They're coming to check out what it is that Phoenix does. So that sounds great. The feast is $10 per person, and that includes your lunch, as well as all kinds of interesting programming.
I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, in Mexico, it's been so bright and cheerful in that room, and it's so drab and gray out in the world. So it's a great place for a fiesta.
Exactly. And maybe afterwards a siesta.
Oh, yeah. My man.
And then the following week, we have our Christmas programming. Mm-hmm. So we do that specifically to honor different nationalities and diversities, religions that don't necessarily celebrate Christmas. All our Christmas programming is packed into that last week. Mm-hmm. And we would invite anybody who is still interested in participating in that. We do have a couple of spots open in each one of the classes. And I think we're doing some classes like what are winter traditions celebrated at this time of year. Mm-hmm. We have a little a writing activity one. The kids never know. It's about creating Christmas cards and gift tags, but it's a great way for them to write. Yep. And if they bring their parents' presents, we'll help them wrap those.
I know. So that's a great always class. A very popular popular.
And then we have Birds of Winter, so that one. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing gingerbread. Should smell great.
We get to eat.
Yeah.
It's all about what me and Diana can mooch from the kitchen.
That's it. And then we'll wrap up that week with our Christmas party. So on December the 19th at 10:30 in the morning, we will be having Mr. Claus arrive. Mm-hmm. Well, sometime in that before noon. I believe it actually goes from 10 till 11:30. I've got it right now. The cost for the Christmas party is $5 per child. Mm-hmm. They'll receive a little gift bag. There'll be cookies and milk. And of course, there'll be Santa.
Was there a teen potluck that day?
Oh, no, there is a teen potluck on December the 17th, which is Wednesday.
See, it's a good thing I was paying attention.
There you go. It is not Christmas related. It is just a teen potluck to celebrate the end of this semester. And so
to
anybody
get out and hang out, play cards or games.
Well, it's jammy day for them.
Yeah.
So they get to come in their jammies.
Appropriate school jammies.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yep.
Okay, and remember, people, then we are closed for winter break, and we will reopen on January the 6th.
All rested and ready to go.
Right. We'll all be perky.
No, we're all going to be digesting all that holiday food.
Hey, let's take a glance back through the tail feathers. So we've had a couple of interesting things happen the last couple of weeks. One was our automotive class.
That has been very interesting. Well, and they visited the chop shop because it was like minus 30 or something ridiculous out there. So we quickly made room in the chop shop and they pulled into our bay and they had a great class because we got to eavesdrop because, you know, we were there.
Right. Hey, listen, a couple of people asked on the Yahoo group if we would be willing to run an automotive awareness class for the younger guys. And I think we would. It will be held in the spring, however. Our parent who has volunteered to do the class for us, like I said, will be available again at that time. So stay tuned and we will provide you with some more information. PD Workman show up this week. Mm-hmm. She came on Tuesday. That's Pam Workman. Mm-hmm. She is one of our parents here at the school. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Jill, she has written 5 books? I think, well, I'm pretty sure it's 5.
Well, I think she's published 5. She's written a lot more. But
really?
Yep. She's got a lot kind of in the can that she's not got out published yet. But yeah, she's a busy little bee.
I know. I couldn't even imagine writing one, let alone multiples.
Oh my goodness. Attention span problems for me. Yeah.
We also had a fabulous glass fusion class, mm-hmm. and that was last week. So the kids did a brilliant job on that. Yeah. The instructor, Lise, was very excited at how cooperative, how artistic, and enthusiastic the kids were with their projects.
Yeah, she was very, very pleased as she was leaving. She was just like, this was great.
Yeah. So we did our Purdy's fundraiser, mm-hmm. and we actually met our minimum. So thank you very much to everybody that ordered Purdy's. Mm-hmm. Your Purdy's will be available for pickup shortly. Mm-hmm. I believe that we expect the order. It's supposed to come December 10th. So we are hoping that we have it for December 12th at the feast.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Feast chocolate.
Yeah, sounds good to me. as well, Scholastics is in. So mm-hmm. if you have books that you ordered for Christmas, mm-hmm. then please make sure you see the front desk for that.
Yeah.
Hey, we also did something else this past week. Mm-hmm. We went to a curriculum meeting.
Whee! Lunch was delicious.
There you go. But there was a couple of things we wanted to remind people about.
Yeah.
So they handed out some sheets about the expectations mm-hmm. regarding basic number facts and strategies.
Yeah.
If you'll recall, there was a parent quite a while ago, about 8 months ago, who started a petition here in Alberta to get the provincial government to change the provincial math curriculum.
Yes. Yes. That was quite a bit going on with that. But
right. So they just wanted to clarify, there is still an expectation that children learn about basic numbers and their facts.
Yes. Yes.
So, for example, students in grade one begin to learn strategies about addition and subtraction facts up to 18.
Yeah.
That has always been in there.
Yeah. And it's totally doable. They love doing it.
Yeah. So, but they should be able to recall and relate subtraction facts at least to five. So that piece they should...
And that's by the end of grade one.
Right. And they should be memorized at that point. Yeah. Like up to five should be memorized.
If you use candy, it's very straightforward.
There you go. Then for grade two, it is applying strategies for addition and subtraction to 18. Mm-hmm. And they should be able to recall by the end of the year up to 10.
Yep.
That seems reasonable.
That's doable.
Then grade three, they should be able to recall and apply addition and related subtraction facts to 18. Mm-hmm. And then they start on multiplication. Mm-hmm. So they should be able to recall and relate division, multiplication and division facts up to 5 by 5.
Yeah, by the end of grade three.
Right. And by grade four, students should be able to apply strategies for multiplication and related division facts up to 9 by 9. Students should recall the multiplication and division facts up to 7 by 7 at the end of grade four. So they should be able to work with up to 9 by 9, but recall from memory 7 by 7.
7 times 7.
7 times 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. But that's exactly the point, is that that's sort of like a strategy. So if you say 5 by 5, it still means the same thing, or set 5 by 5. So that was what sort of Alberta Education was trying to get across to people, was that they never said you couldn't learn them by heart.
Yes. Just know there are different strategies and routes to learning them.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure how many of our homeschooling families were concerned one way or the other, because, of course, they're the ones teaching math to their kids.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not sure that anybody in our community was overly upset about...
I think other than the concern that, what do you mean kids don't need to know math? And, you know, I think other than that, and that is not at all what they meant. They just said, you know, there are more than one way.
Exactly. And the other piece of that workshop that was kind of interesting, there was two things. One was about the Learning Commons. And so we were very excited because we have a Learning Commons. Yay! And we already have some policy and procedure around that. So very good. We're ahead of that. But we were pleased and wanted to thank all of you who have participated and watched and cleaned up after yourself this past week.
Yeah.
You've done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for keeping our library quiet and clean.
Yeah, big difference in the noise. So our instructors and classes have thank you, and other parents and people working in there. This was great. Good job, guys.
Yeah, well done. Yay!
Yay!
So the other thing that Alberta Ed brought up in that workshop was also about dual crediting.
Yes.
So we're not really sure how this is going to apply to the homeschooling community. And we did ask.
Yeah, but they still don't know.
Right.
And so we get really, I mean, it's not like they slam the door in our face and say, well, this does not apply to you at all.
Right.
But we do get, you know, we're looking at that. We're not certain yet. We're looking at different strategies and, you know, different things. So basically, nobody knows yet.
So as this sort of rolls out for private schools and homeschools, we will advise you as to what we find out. When we find out.
When we know, you'll know.
Yay! Okay, our next little segment is a beak-off. Okay, Jill, can you find your article?
Oh.
Have you got it?
I have it.
Here it is. Here it is. Here's my article.
Okay.
So this is an article from the Globe and Mail. It was published on December the 1st.
2014.
Right. And it is about Bill number 10.
Mm-hmm. Which I have to say, I'm not a hugely political person, so I don't really understand always the far-reaching things. Sometimes things seem very straightforward on the surface, but I do understand that looking years down the road, there are other twists and turns to possibilities. So I don't even want to, like, get into all of that.
Right.
What you and I have an issue with is a particular statement down here.
So one of the things that was pointed out by the Liberal MLA, Laurie Blakeman, in the article, she says that the government is catering to the demands of a small and vocal lobby group of homeschoolers.
Which we laughed about because, let me tell you, if there are any bubblings in the community, we hear about it. Because people want confirmation, they want to know something. We've heard nothing.
It seems unusual that it would be homeschooling parents that are making a big hoopla about this, because the bill addresses gay, straight alliance clubs in schools.
Yes, and stating whether or not the students have the right to set up this club, or whether the school has the right to say no.
But that doesn't apply to homeschooling.
So we can't quite figure out why they would really care, other than in a general support, yay or nay, as an overall, but it wouldn't apply to them.
Right. So I think this might be a little red herring to toss a little bit.
Stir the pot a wee bit.
Yeah,
deflect attention from something else is my tinfoil hat worry.
Yeah, not sure, but our general take is that we would think and hope that schools provide a safe and caring environment for all students.
Yes.
It was part of inspiring education that each and every student was honored for their differences and diversity was celebrated.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that we would like to see. Yeah. We would like to see that every child is assisted to become the best that they can be.
Yep. Be nice to each other.
Yeah.
It's the bottom line. I mean, we need rules about this.
Yeah. Come on, people, just go back to kindergarten. Everything you learned, you needed and learned in kindergarten.
It.
Be nice. Share.
Share. Be nice. Don't call names. You know, include everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, if it doesn't all work out, have a nap. A snack and a nap.
A snack and a nap. I'm in today.
Okay. Let's take a few people under our wing.
Okay.
And talk a little bit about Christmas and some ways that people can help reduce stress and protect their health.
Well, and I mean, this doesn't even, you know, deal even just so much with Christmas. I mean, it really kind of goes along any celebration that's involved with, you know, shopping, family, community, on a far-reaching thing.
Exactly.
You know, this is a good tips.
Right. So the first tip was budget for Christmas. So it's always a great idea to work out a rough budget of what you think things are going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
Allow a little bit for hidden costs because there's always something that comes up. Oh, I don't know, batteries.
Oh, yeah. Look, I bought all these wonderful toys. Oh, gosh, I need 25 batteries.
And I laughed because I liked the little saying here that if your nest egg isn't enough to cover your estimated expenses, consider recalculating your Christmas budget to a more realistic amount. Your little nest egg.
I know. Oh. We're so going to use that.
Anyway.
Maybe that's what we'll call the family's funding allowance.
Yeah, their nest egg.
Their nest egg.
That sounds good. Okay, so then the next thing is talking about presents. And this can be a huge source of stress for people.
Mm-hmm. I think as your kids get older as well, it gets much more costly for each individual. When they're young, oh my goodness, you can go to the dollar store, you can fill the tree. They are busy and but as they get older, it gets a little trickier.
It does. So a couple of things you can do, and we did this in our family, is that as my siblings and I got older and started having families and children, we agreed that we would only buy for the kids.
Yep.
So that helped to reduce the expenses. Another suggestion is for everybody to draw a name out of the hat. And I think this one works better if you have older kids and family.
Yep.
And you only buy a present for that one person.
Yep. The other one is set a limit on the cost of presents for each person. So nothing over $25. And my family, one year, quite a few years ago, when a rather large herd, which is a rarity because we're very spread out, everything had to be homemade.
Right.
So either it could be baked, it could be cooked, it could be from a kit that you glue and nail together, it could be, but everything had to have something homemade element of it.
That's nice. I really like that.
It's so fun.
And it helps kids to develop a skill set and an appreciation for the gift that they're giving.
Well, the time and the effort, and that you think about that person throughout the process, and you kind of just embed a little extra love into it.
The next one is Christmas shopping. Don't do it.
Don't go there. It's a scary place.
It was interesting because they were talking on the radio the last little while about the number of Canadians that will be shopping online. I don't think it's because they're actually avoiding the mall. I think it's the weather.
I agree. But, you know, sadly, I am the one in the mall, you know, on Christmas Eve with all the husbands. I try every year, but I just never seem to have it together. And my daughter is like already done and they're wrapped and her tree's up. And it's just like,
my daughter too.
Oh my gosh. And I'm like, I'm not ready.
Okay. So some suggestions here is make a list of the gifts that you want to buy, and make sure that you have people on the list. And as you buy a present, make sure you cross them off, because what a shame to duplicate gifts and to have a whole bunch of gifts for one person and no gift for the other.
Well, and look, if you have like devices, you know, smartphones, I know, and I got to go, it's reminding me, I got to find it now this year, is there's gift apps, and you can put people's measurements and sizes. You can put your budget for that person. So when you buy their gift, you put what you did and what's left.
Yep.
And, you know, I used that last year and it was very helpful.
And the one that my daughter uses allows you to put in a picture of the gift. So that way you can snap a little picture. And if you are a visual kind of person, then you can match the gift with the person.
I like that.
So that was kind of a cool thing. But there's tons of different Christmas gift apps, and you just need to search on iTunes or whatever is your platform, and you will find a plethora.
Ooh.
Good word, eh?
Nice word.
Yeah. Okay. I like this suggestion about buying a few extra little gifts, such as boxes of chocolates.
You and I both tend to do this because we have quite a few people on our list.
Right. And you might accidentally forget somebody, or somebody might have forgotten to mention that dear old Aunt Bertha was actually coming to Christmas dinner this year. So that way you have something extra just in case.
Yep.
How do you deal with Christmas lunch or dinner? Do you celebrate lunch or dinner?
We do dinner.
Yep.
And we tend to do our big dinner actually on Christmas Eve, because I hate spending Christmas Day slaving all day in the kitchen.
Okay.
That's the day I want to wake up, have some cinnamon rolls and coffee and laze around, open presents if we've got them, and just enjoy my time with my family and not be in the kitchen all day.
Right.
And so with sandwiches and leftovers.
That sounds good. Yeah. So if you are, however, the person that is cooking lunch at your home, then make sure you delegate tasks. You don't need to do everything. Nope. Make sure that you keep it simple. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, having maybe one or two side dishes, not 12, make a list of the food and the ingredients you need so that you've purchased them in advance and you are not freaking out on Christmas morning because you don't have butter.
And some things can be cooked in advance too.
Yes.
Like especially your side dishes and that. And I mean, for in our family is interested in cooking. So often we do end up with either people in there helping you prepare each dish, or they've tend to migrated towards just doing their particular dish. So it's like off my mind.
Right.
Not my problem.
We do an extended family Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. And so each family is responsible for bringing a particular thing. Mm-hmm. So one family might be responsible for bringing mashed potatoes for 20.
Yes.
Somebody else might be you're supposed to bring the sweet potatoes with marshmallow topping, because if it doesn't have marshmallows on it, it's not appropriate.
I'm sorry, it's delicious.
Yeah. Who's not?
Really? Who would argue that?
There you go. And somebody else does Brussels sprouts with bacon.
Whipping cream and butter in my house.
And bacon.
Whipping cream and butter in my house, man. We take all the nutritional factor right out of those Brussels sprouts.
There you go. So we will post a couple of our favorite recipes on the website along with our show notes so that you could check out those sweet potatoes with marshmallows. But one of the key pieces about having a successful Christmas is managing relationships.
Oh, yeah, because who doesn't love the Christmas celebration like we all get to laugh at? We're going to call this on TV. Where there's the brawl, the chicken's on fire, being tossed around the kitchen floor.
National Lampoon's Vacation. Yeah.
Who really wants to live that?
So try to avoid known triggers. Mm-hmm. Don't expect miracles. Mm-hmm. And understand that there is going to be some conflict and tension. Mm-hmm. Just prepare for it and let it go.
And you know what? I find, and I know this sounds really kind of sad in a way, and don't take it that way. Expectations, a lot of the depression and the upset around the holidays is expectations. It's yes. your own expectations of what you think other people are expecting from you, and expectations kill, man. So relax.
Right. And use some relaxation techniques, things like deep breathing.
Why? Sorry. That's not actually on the list.
Okay. Hey, some little extras that they suggest is to write up a Christmas card list. Do you send Christmas card, Jills? Jill?
Jills?
Jills? I have a big plural thing going today.
You do. You know what? I'm terrible because I never get my stuff together in time to get them, as I pointed out earlier. So, you know, for the people who I can write them up and hand them to when I yes. look at their face, I'm very good at it. But I have to say, my sweet daughter, she has already handled most of my Christmas card needs, at least for all of that. She found some adorable cards. She got enough for her and me. She had pretty sparkly pens. And so she helped me out. And so thank
Very
you,
nice.
Sarah.
Very nice. We do send Christmas cards, probably not as many as we used to. And I literally just sort of sit down in a night and I write the little phrase mm-hmm. and then I hand them to my family members mm-hmm. to add and sign.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing I've done in the past, and I was thinking about doing it again this year because it's been a big year for us, you know, mm-hmm. big changes. I did it several years ago, was I did a little newsletter and I could put like pictures of
yes.
things. And those are the things I just sent to like our family because our family is spread
all
far
over.
And wide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just thought with that way I could put some pictures of things in.
Yep.
I could do something like that. So I did that a while ago and I'm thinking I might do that again this year.
I really liked their suggestion of buying Christmas necessities such as cards, wrapping paper, ribbon after Christmas because of course it's like sometimes 75% off.
It is. And you know what? I have done that a few times and those items have been put away somewhere safe and I have never seen them again and it's been years. But I have done that.
Yep.
The wrap was harder to lose because it's big. Man, I always try to put them all in the same place, and it's a logical place.
You just don't remember where that is.
No. So sometimes
okay.
that backfires.
So that could be a downfall of doing that. But on the other side, if you can remember where you've put them, then you could save up to 75% on those kinds of items.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a couple of last tips about your general health and well-being. One of them is to be moderate. And, you know, I have to say, I have always enjoyed Christmas so much more mm-hmm. when I have been a very moderate eater at Christmas dinner.
Yes.
While the rest of my family is moaning and groaning and clutching at their sides in pain, mm-hmm. I'm feeling fabulous thinking, there's a ton of leftovers, I can go back.
Yeah.
But at least I'm not in pain.
Exactly. And I have to agree because it just, holiday dinners just never seem to end. You have appetizers, you have the dinner, and you're just like dying from dinner. And then it's like, oh yeah, there's pie, you know. So, you know, just pace yourself, people. You're there for the long haul run.
There you go. And make sure you keep moving. So mm-hmm. don't become a couch potato. Yeah. Make sure that you actually do get up, go for a stroll. If the weather is lovely, as it is today, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful day to go for a little walk.
Yeah.
And same with Christmas Day.
It's the best thing about having a dog. Sometimes, you know, you'd be like, yeah, no, but, you know, it can help you kind of haul yourself up and go.
Okay, make sure you get enough sleep. That's sort of the last one there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sometimes, you know, it's good to plan for early nights.
Mm-hmm.
So getting enough sleep is important to your health and well-being. And it's okay. It's dark. It's dark by 5 o'clock.
It's dark. Go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. All right, is there any last-minute tips you'd like to share there, Jo?
No, I think I pretty well barged in periodically throughout.
Okay, so to summarize, make sure that you save a percentage of your income throughout the year so that Christmas isn't a surprise and you have a nice nest egg. Yes. Secondly, make sure you make a list. That's very important, both of the gifts and the food you wish to buy, and get them early so that you're not disappointed. And remember, don't expect miracles. This is a time when family members may be under a bit of stress. They might have eaten too much, not slept enough, all those kinds of things. They're maybe not at their best, and they may not give you their best. So don't have high expectations, but be kind and gracious. And remember, it is over all too soon.
And remember,
or soon enough.
If you cook the turkey and it dries out horribly and you're just so embarrassed and you're dying, you know, these are the things you
watch National Lampoon.
You will laugh about them later.
Yes.
Maybe a couple years later, but you will laugh.
Exactly. So on that happy note, that was our little support for you guys.
That's it.
We would like very much to wish you what kind of a week this week, Jill?
I would like to wish everyone a sunny, warm, melting week.
Yeah, actually, you know, we were talking about Christmas in Australia and how strange that would be to have a warm, tropical, lovely, sunny Christmas.
I
was in, actually.
I think we should explore that possibility. You know, you don't want to turn your nose up on it, you know, until you've really explored it.
There you go. So have a warm and glorious week this
Melty week.
That's right. Even if it's in front of your SIDS light.